Father, what a wonderful thing it is for us to be able to gather in this way and just to sing these songs of praise to you. And Father, you are worthy and deserving of all our praise and our worship. We thank you and praise you for who you are. We thank you that you are a God who is mighty to save. We thank you for the salvation that you have given to us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we recognize that we don't deserve what was done for us, that you have done for us out of your grace and your mercy and your compassion and your love for each and every one of us. So we thank you and we praise you for that. And Father, even as we have sung how you reign, and it is our desire that you would reign in our lives, we acknowledge that even this week there's been times that we haven't kind of lived that out and haven't allowed you to reign. And so we come before you and confess that to you. Again, we thank you that you're such a loving Father, a compassionate Father, a gracious Father, that you forgive us of all our sins. And Father, you not only love each one of us, you love the world. You love each and every one. And so, Father, we know that your heart is breaking when you see such destruction being done from us to each other. And we see what's happening in the world, and we pray for those areas of that are suffering such because of war and mistreatment. And Father, you tell us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, and we pray that you would change the hearts of those who are bringing such pain and hurt. Father, we pray for those who are in the midst of these war-torn areas, that you would protect them, that they would know that you are with them. We pray for our fellow believers in these areas, that you would help them to know how to respond, and that you would guard over them. Help those who have children that are in the military or having to face dangerous situations. Again, we pray for your hand of protection, and we ask that you would have these fightings not only in Israel and there in Gaza, but throughout the world where there's fighting, that it would come to an end. And Father, we pray that you'll help us right here at home to treat each other as you treat us, that we would love on each other, that we be careful of the words we say and the actions that we take, and that you would help us to be a light, not only here, but throughout the world. We thank you for this focus that we've been having this week on world missions and what you're doing, and we thank you for the way that we have been encouraged as we hear of reports of what is taking place and has taken place. We thank you for what is being done. We thank you for the part that we can have it, whether we go or we pray, where we give. But thank you that we can share in spreading your word to those who need it so. We thank you for the opportunities that you give us here locally to reach out to others. We thank you for those that we come in contact with each and every day. And help us to be a light that shines brightly for you. That we will be walking so close to you that we will be reflecting you to others, that they would see your love and see your compassion, see your care, and know what you have done for them through our Lord and Savior Jesus. Father, we thank you again for all that you're doing. We thank you so much for our missionaries that are in places that we're not able to be. And we pray for them. We pray for their safety. We pray that you would encourage them when they're discouraged and frustrated. We pray that you would use them in a mighty way. Father God, we thank you for being able to pray for one another. And we pray for those within our own congregation that are going through some real difficult times. Father, continue to pray for Arthur Cabral and ask that you would help him in his healing process from his surgery of getting the pacemaker. We thank you that he's doing well and just continue to give him the patience he needs to allow his body to heal from this. Father, continue to pray for Jane Norman. And we thank you that she is home, and just pray that you would strengthen her and that the doctors would really kind of figure out what is going on. And Father God, we ask that you be at Tracy Gilbert as she again now battles with another bout of cancer. And so we ask that you would help her and her family through this difficult time. Father, we each know of others that are suffering, whether from cancer or some other illness or some difficult situation. So right now we just pause and pray for them. Father God, again, we thank you so much for the way that you love each and every one of us. We thank you for the work that you are doing throughout this world. Thank you again for the opportunity that we have been able to hear some about what you are doing. Thank you for Stephen and for him sharing with us last night and just those encouraging words, and we look forward to what you have laid upon his heart to share with us this morning. We ask that you would continue to bless him. And Father God, it is our desire that you would reign. Reign in our lives, reign in this world. And we thank you for the opportunity just to gather in this way to worship you and to hear your word proclaimed. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, the children are dismissed for children's worship.
Well, last night was we had a nice evening, wonderful stories from the field. We appreciated our guest speaker, Stephen Wibberly. So Stephen and I won't give too much details. Stephen and Barbara are here with us this morning, and we look forward to hearing the message. I wanted to mention that this morning, actually, at the SALT class, we had a time of prayer and reflection about missions and about our missionaries. But remember that this folder here is a great learning opportunity to keep up to date on missionaries. We publish this every year. And so it's a good place to pray through every day. Put it in your Bibles and kind of remind you of some of the servants that God has called out from us and who that we are partnering with throughout the world. So just remember that. We also have, at the end of the service, we're going to collect faith promise. We have sign-up tables in the back for particular missionaries. You know, you maybe not be able to keep track of all of them, but if there's a few that you could choose to really focus on and communicate with and pray for, that'd be wonderful. So you can sign up in the back there on the tables. You can also indicate them here on the Faith Promise card that we'll collect at the end of the service. So Steve is a great storyteller and told us some great stories last night. The way we stumbled across Steve is Terry, who's on the missions ministry, was in a used bookstore, and she pulled a book off the shelf and looked at it and said, "Wow, From Canterbury to the Ends of the Earth and Back Again." And it was one of Steve's many books that he wrote, which has, there's a book table in the back here that he has some books available as well. We said, well, we got to get this guy to come and share with us. So here he is, and we're so glad that you've come to share with us, and look forward to hearing what the Lord's put on your heart to share with us today, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, it's a pleasure to be here. We did have a good time last night. I talked about one of my books called Equipped, and I didn't have enough copies for the people who wanted them. I've ordered some, but they didn't come in time. So if you were here last night, you didn't get one and you want one, you can sign up on the paper out at my book table, and I will be bringing some books next week for those who wanted them. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your great goodness to us in bringing us into the kingdom and for the privilege of then being messengers for you to the world. Guide us as we look at this information today that it might make us better ambassadors for you. We ask it in your name. Amen. If anybody didn't get one of these papers, could you raise your hand and I'll give you one? They were outside. They're okay. Because we're going to use this during the sermon. Okay. I have to look at this screen, so I'm going to have to turn my back to you. But we are members of Christar, and one of the themes is pursuing God's fame or his glory. It says, God's fame, I will send survivors to the nations, to distant coastlands that have never heard of my fame or my glory, see my glory, and they will declare my glory among the nations. And that's what Christar does by planting churches among the least reached Muslims, Hindus, and East Asians around the world. So God has a call for all of us, not just those who are missionaries by profession. He doesn't call us just to be Christians. He calls us to be world Christians. And there's a difference between that. A world Christian is one who thinks much wider. A normal Christian thinks pretty locally. So God has given the Great Commission for all of us. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And we each have the Holy Spirit. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is for all of us, not just for the select few. So you can have a world Christian or a worldly Christian. And in between these is a spectrum. And we all match up somewhere on this spectrum. And today I wanted to help you try to discern where you are on this spectrum to see how you can move yourself in the right direction. So the Great Commission is for all of us, and what drives the Great Commission is worship. I shared last night how the main way that God led us to become missionaries, I was a tire dealer in Canterbury, was through our monthly prayer meeting where we spent an hour in worship, not asking for anything, just worshiping God. By the way, I appreciated the songs this morning. They were really great, especially that first one. And then we would pray for the world. So worship, looking at God, praising Him for who He is, glorifying Him for His character, is what drives missions. So then we're going to go to Jerusalem, which is Woodstock, Judea, which is the quiet corner, Samaria, which is downtown Hartford, for instance, and then the ends of the earth. We're all called to be involved in these in different ways. So we energize events through worship. We run to all the bases, all four of them, and we join God in what He's doing. Now let's take a test here. Let's see whether we are a world Christian, that is a worshiper reaching all the bases, or a worldly Christian who's a whiner staying at first base if you get there at all. That may sound kind of harsh, but there's a lot of that that goes on. Okay, so here's the picture. We're going to look at, are you a worshiper, a big picture person, a prayer warrior, and live a disciplined life and rest in Christ, or the opposites? So first of all, are you a worshiper or a whiner? By the way, one of the great traits of America is being a whiner. You notice that? If you start a conversation with somebody, almost immediately they begin to complain about things, about Biden, or about Trump, or about this, or about prices, everything. It's all whining. And that does not please God or help us. So, we believe in, knows God's character and believes Him. We have God sightings. I mentioned this last night. A God sighting is when you see God reach into your life and do something. For instance, my being here is a God sighting. That lady picked up my book. How I got in that bookshop, I don't know. She read it and invited me to come here. And God has God sightings for you every day. Just getting home safely is a God sighting because you could easily have an accident. His provision for you every day. And then there are other things that happen. Like last night, we were driving up here. We're driving along, and this deer comes out of the woods, looks at me, and goes right back in. It could have been otherwise. So, see, we see God sightings where a whiner acts as if God weren't really there. He believes in Murphy's Law. If the worst is going to happen, can happen, it does. Or in luck. I don't know how many times I tell Christians about my God sighting. They say, oh, you're really lucky. I said, no, I don't have luck. I have a loving Father who watches after me. And He gives thanks in all things. This is a key item that we're called to give thanks in all things. It's a command in Scripture. And Psalm 50:23 says, He who offers the sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, that's the purpose of our life, and opens the way that I may show him the salvation of the Lord. And giving the sacrifice of thanks means thanking when you don't feel like it. Now, I have a bad habit. I lose my keys. I'm busy doing something. I set my keys down somewhere or I drop them. And each time I say, okay, Lord, thank you for this. Thank you that you know where those keys are, and you can show me if you want. If you don't, well, I've got a spare set, but thank you for this. Help me to see them. And every time He's done that. The last time I did it, I prayed that, and I went out and do some work, and I thought, you know, I went to that particular building yesterday. I wonder if I left them inside. So I went and looked. No, they weren't there, but I came down the steps, and there they were in the grass. So offering the sacrifice of thanksgiving opens the way for God to show us the salvation of the Lord. So we practice this every day. We see his answers, and we give him honor. Whereas a whiner gives thanks for only what is pleasant. We should do that. We should do that. But that's all they do. And when that happens, they will say, oh, God is good. Well, he's good when things look good, and he's good when things look bad, too. And we live in that faith that makes a difference, makes us a world Christian. So a worshiper views suffering as part of his or her calling. We don't see it as a bad thing. So I shared last night in Turkey, I was jailed several times, arrested, put on trial, expelled from the country, and so on. This is part of being a believer. Jesus said, if you follow me, you'll be persecuted for my name's sake. And it's coming. It's going to come in America, too. But much of the world suffers persecution. So we say, okay, this is normal. It's not unusual. Where Weiner views suffering as bad. Any suffering is bad. You know, somebody said, if you want to know how a spiritual person is, raise the temperature 3 degrees or lower it 3 degrees and see what they do. And they're going to complain. I find myself doing that, too. And the worshiper says, Lord, what are you teaching me in this? What are you doing in my life with this? Rather than complaining. And the whiner says, why me? Why not you? The reality is, if God were fair, he'd send us all to hell right now, because that's what we deserve. But God is not fair. He's gracious. And everything has a meaning in our life. So we know God's purposes in suffering, and there's many of them. One is James 1. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or testings, because you know that the trying of your faith works endurance. It brings maturity into our life. And the worldly Christian sees suffering as bad. The highest value in America is comfort. Have you ever heard the saying, I can't do that, it's outside my comfort zone? I've said that to myself. But that comfort is the measure of goodness in America. It's the highest value. What should our highest value be?
God's glory.
Okay, out of God's word, it's the theme of your conference. Glory to God. Our highest value is giving God glory. We have to know his word to do that. So that's what a worshiper would be. Let's see what we have next here. Okay, and the worshiper looks towards eternal rewards. And there's several passages in Scripture that talk about how those who are suffering look forward to the reward they'll have in heaven. So it's a over-the-time view rather than just a simple one, where the whiner lives for present gratification. And the worshiper identifies with the suffering church, prays for, supports, is involved in some way, where the whiner identifies with American comfort culture. Okay, now, let's see. All right, look at this paper. And so you have the spectrum here. I'd like you to put a dot where you think you are in being a worshiper or a whiner. And actually, that moves around every day, because we can be a whiner in one situation and a worshiper in another. So think about where you are in that spectrum. Okay, the second thing is a world Christian is a big picture person, where the worldly Christian is a small picture person. The world Christian shares God's vision for the world. He knows what God wants to do in the world, which is save as many people as possible. And you know, one of these things is we see the terrible things that are going on, the war in Ukraine, Hamas, Hezbollah, Nigeria has the highest rate of martyrdom anywhere in the world. Every 2 hours, at least one Christian dies and so on. What is God doing? And the earthquake in Turkey, what is God doing with all this? Well, the big picture is this. God is working to bring people into his kingdom. How many people come to Christ when things go well? Not many. I know two who've done that. Everybody else has a crisis. So we see the big picture, what God is doing, and we don't want to rejoice in the earthquake and so on, but God is using that in powerful ways to bring people into his kingdom. where the worldly Christian is unaware of God's vision. He's just thinking about the next video he's going to watch, or the video game he's going to play, or whatever, some entertainment type thing. The big picture, we think globally and eternally. The bigger picture, I have a phrase I like to use, God is moving history to a conclusion and taking us with him. So whatever happens, it's okay. He's got control. He's using it to bring history to conclusion. And the conclusion of history is the elimination of evil, which is good. Where the worldly Christian thinks locally, limited, and his future is retirement, not reaching the world or getting to heaven and getting rewards. And the worldly Christian acts locally, nationally, and globally in all these things, where the worldly Christian thinks minimally, locally at most, if they do that. Okay, the world Christian has a sense of history, as I mentioned, where it's going, where the worldly Christian thinks mostly of the present. I remember one time I had a big snowstorm and I was shoveling my sidewalk and there was a teenager across the street and leaning up against the post of his porch and said, "Hey, come on over and help me shovel, I'll pay you." He said, "I can't." I said, "Why not?" He said, "I'm saving myself." I said, "For what?" He said, "I'm going to watch a movie tonight." So he's thinking very present. And we seek to give, to help, to share, to serve. That's our awareness of it. We seek to do that. Where the worldly Christian seeks to get, to save up, and gives a little bit to God. Not much, just a little bit. The average evangelical Christian gives 1%, 1% to his church. Okay, so you make a mark on that one. Where do you see yourself in that picture? Are you a big picture person, or are you a small picture person, or somewhere in between? By the way, the purpose of doing this is not to accuse you, it's to help you see how you can move ahead. So, a world Christian is a prayer warrior, where a worldly Christian is a prayer worrier. So the world Christian understands that prayer is God's invitation to join his work. So we're praying that God will do the things he says he wants done in Scripture, like asking that he would convict people of sin and righteousness and judgment to help them come to Christ. Where the worldly Christian prays primarily for his personal needs and about illnesses. Now we should pray for those, but not primarily. So when we go to a prayer meeting, any prayer meeting I've gone to, I would say 50 to 80% of the requests are for about illnesses, and we should pray for those. But that shouldn't be limited to that. We should expand to the larger picture, be praying for Israel, for the war in Ukraine, that God would use that to bring many people to himself. And then the prayer warrior watches the news sparingly. If you want to be depressed, watch the news a lot. And uses the news for prayer, where the worldly Christian watches too much news and despairs. Okay, so where do you see yourself on that? Are you a prayer warrior or a prayer worshiper or somewhere in between? So the fourth area is being disciplined in life or indulgent in life. So the world Christian has a quiet time, has prayer, and a balance in activities. I mentioned last night that the Lord led me when I was 9 years old to start a quiet time, reading a chapter a day from the Bible. I had hard going in Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, but I've never missed a day since then. And so I read through the Bible regularly, read through the New Testament every 9 months, one chapter a day. To commit to do that is the way to move ahead. Because many mornings I don't feel like doing that, but I've committed, so I do it. And prayer, praying about everything, I hope that you have a prayer list, either in your head or on paper, mine's on paper, and you pray for yourself, for your family, for your church, for your community, for the world. And you can, on my list, I change. I have different lists for each day. But that consistent prayer makes a big difference. I'll just mention one thing is in praying for my family. We've prayed for a number of our relatives to come to Christ, and our family is really stubborn. My father came at 86 to Christ. My mother, 83, my aunt at 87, my grandfather at 73, and my cousin at 76. But we prayed for them. I prayed 52 years for my father to come to Christ. So prayer is a very important part of our life, where the indulgent life, entertainment and rewarding self is the highest value. You know, you get your phone out, you're watching YouTube or playing. I was sitting in the doctor's office and this lady next to me, she's playing some kind of game on her phone, not thinking about bigger things. So we're careful about our mental intake. There's all kinds of things that you can read or look at that are destructive. When I'm reading things on the internet, these pictures pop up. Those girls should have some money to buy more clothes, I'll tell you. I put my hand up immediately to block that out, because I don't want that intake. It's destructive. Or reading negative things or watching movies that are not healthy. We watch movies, but we watch them on a thing called PureFlix. Have you ever heard of that? Okay, the movies are pure. No swearing, no skin, no adultery, etc. They're very healthy, edifying movies to watch if you want to watch them. Where the indulgent Christian watches whatever other people read, hear, or see. They don't distinguish between what's good and what's negative. And as far as the body goes, we realize that this is God's temple. This is not my body. It belongs to Him. And the purpose of it is for, primary purpose is for ministry and glorifying God. Where a worldly Christian views his body as a means of indulging. You know, whatever I want to eat, I eat. Whatever I want to do, I do. And so he doesn't see the picture that this body is for God or it's the temple of God. Okay, so you can make a mark there. How are you in this? Do you have it in a disciplined life or an indulgent life? And we got some more here. We discern God's values and the world's and distinguish between them. The world's ideas are creeping into the church. For instance, I made a comment in a church one time about my brother who was an Uber driver, and he was driving through Waterbury in a bad section. He saw these group of teenagers on the sidewalk rolling dice, changing money and everything. They were gambling. So he parks his car, he goes over and he talks to them about the love of Jesus. And I mentioned that these were black and Hispanic kids. Oh, did I get it from the congregation? You're judgmental, you're being negative about them. I just said, what happened? And my purpose in that was saying, let's reach out cross-culturally. It's not just meet our white neighbors, but think about other people too. But that whole woke culture is coming into the church. We have to be careful we don't allow that to happen, and instead to be biblical in our thinking. No discernment follows culture. I have a nephew who's a pastor, and when this Black Lives Matter thing came out, he took his congregation out on the street and knelt down and asked forgiveness for a thing. He never did anything against a black person. He had a black brother-in-law. But they got into that whole woke thing and focused on that rather than loving their neighbor. So you can make a mark on there where you are in the disciplined life or indulgent life. The third thing is that the world Christian rests in Christ, where the worldly Christian tries to wrest control from Christ. So we get our security from Him. As someone said, safety is not the absence of danger, but the presence of Christ. And we've been in dangerous situations, and we didn't have to be afraid because we knew that Christ is there. You know, we've had some pretty scary airplane things, and no need to worry. I said to my wife, you know, this is the best way to die in a plane crash, because we go together. You have no funeral expenses and no nursing home to go to. But you can't arrange that. But we don't have to let insecurity rule us. Where the worldly Christian gets security from control. You know anybody like that? They try to control everything, including you, because that makes them feel secure. I have some people like that in my life. And then we get our significance from Christ, which is an unmovable, unending source of security. Created in the image of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, adopted into the family, in the kingdom of God, and so on. Where the worldly Christian gets significance from accomplishments and other people's opinions of them. Everybody does this, naturally. But we have to begin to move from that to our significance being in Christ. So if you're a worldly Christian, your significance is up one day, down the next. And then we believe God, we believe what he has to say, where the worldly Christian unknowingly believes himself and Satan. How many times have you heard the advice, just follow your heart? Never heard that? It's so common. I've seen it in Christian movies and in Christian books. Just follow your heart. Well, what does God say about your heart? Desperately wicked. Evil things come out of the heart. So we're not to follow the heart. We're to follow God's word instead. So here we are with these spectrums between these things. So here's what the average person is, I think, in America, average evangelical. So yes, they worship some. They do pray some, but they're pretty much in line with culture and the other things. So how do we change this? Well, in one sense, it's very easy. You increase your worship. Because as you worship God, that means looking at him and his character and praising him, thanking him for being who he is and what he is. So just like Psalm 50:23, God is the God who allows difficulties in my life. He offers me the opportunity to give him glory, and he will answer my prayer in some way. Maybe not the way I want, but in some way. As we remember how big God is, then we begin to think bigger in our picture. We begin to pray for wider things than my own thing. We begin to realize that obeying God in many things is the way to power in ministry. And then we learn to rest in Christ. So as we do that, these other things are going to move over in that direction. Okay, so if you look at your little chart there, maybe help yourself move in that direction. We all need to move in that direction. I do too. It's a continual process. So worship, as I said, is praise, thanksgiving, and praise. Many people only worship with thanksgiving, and we should do that. But thanksgiving requires no faith because you already have it. Thank you, Lord, that I have such a nice house. We often pray this. Thank you, Lord. We wake up in the morning. Thank you for this nice, comfortable bed, for this nice house, for the view we have out our window. That's good. We should do that. But to praise him when things don't look good, that's faith. That's 100% faith based on his character, not on our situation. And it brings them a lot more glory, I believe. So praise is giving God glory for who he is without thinking about how it benefits me. It's very hard to do that. You try that. Because we always slip out of praise into thanksgiving. And we should do both, but not just one. By the way, I've had prayer meetings where we said, okay, now we're going to worship. And immediately people start praying for something. They're just so not used to giving God glory. And here's a simple way to do this. My wife and I do this often when we're in the car. We play the alphabet game. We say, what are the things we're thankful for God, from God, or his character? So she gets A, I get B, she gets C. And it really is amazing how that simple thing lifts your spirits and makes you focus on God. So now which base will you run to? Here is driven by worship. So Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, are the ends of the earth. So, how can you run to all of them? We should go to all of them. How can you do this? Well, first of all, worship is what powers it, both thanksgiving and praise, a daily personal worship, as well as through-the-day worship and small group and corporate and church. Somebody said, corporate worship flows out of personal worship. And I have found that as I've developed my worship life, then I begin to say those things in corporate prayer times. So we use discipline, intentional prayer for each of these areas. And that's a good outline for your prayer time. Pray for things that are very local, generally local, in America that's not so hot, and then ends of the earth. So you can just pray for certain things in that each day. We should pray for things like salvation, for growth, for godliness, for people to be a witness for Christ, and so on. I mean, there's many things. Praying scripture is the best thing, actually. Ephesians 2 has a bunch of prayers that Paul has in there that you can pray for Christians around the world. So, and the Voice of the Martyrs, so you have some magazines out here. That's a good one to read. It gives you information about persecuted Christians to pray for them. So then giving. We should give strategically, not just in general. Gordon Conwell Seminary did a study of giving and how it's used. Out of every $100,000 given to churches, $41,000 is used on the church itself. $41,000 is used in local ministries, more in the U.S. Samaria, the difficult parts, $12,000. And the ends of the earth get left at the bottom with $6,000. So most of the money is given to local personal things and doesn't get out to the ends of the earth. So when you give, your church gives specifically to missions. That is really good. You've been to churches who don't give anything to missions. They don't even think about it. So that's good. And when you, if you give personally, I would encourage you to think about where can I give that is strategic to reach the Muslim world. By the way, the Muslim world itself gets about $300 out of this, because it's been a neglected portion of the world. As I mentioned last night, when we went to Turkey, 55 million people, there were less than 50 known born-again believers out of Islam. There's that many people here today. And the whole nation, because it was neglected for many years. Now, fortunately, there's more work going on. And then Jerusalem, what do you do? Well, pray for and witness locally. Do you pray for your neighbors? That's a good thing to do. By name, you all have neighbors around you. There's a program, what's it called? I forgot the name of it, but if you log on to it, it'll tell you all your neighbors' names within a half a mile radius. So, and that gives you every day several to pray for. It comes up on your line. I'll have to tell your pastor what it is. He can tell you later with that. So I'll be praying for them specifically. So here's one reason, way I witness. This is on one of my buildings on the farm. So it says up in the corner, worry, fear, anxiety, frustration. Jesus said, come to me, all who are worried, anxious, fearful, and I will give you rest. The people in town call this the Jesus wall. And I get made fun of for having this up there, but people comment. Some people complain to the town about it. You know what the town said? Freedom of religion. Good for them. So that's just one way that I work at this. Then witnessing in Judea, in your county, in your state. And here's something that my brother developed and I've adopted. This is a little card that I give out. And I have a website that has several videos that present the gospel on it. And so when you click on this QR code, it goes right to there. So I have several of them. This one is, what's the meaning of life? And I leave these in public bathrooms, on shelves in stores. I leave it in the credit card slot on a gas pump. And I try to give it out personally if I can. So one thing I do is when I go into a store, I ask the cashier, if there's not too many people, I say, what do you think about the future? Are you optimistic or pessimistic? And I get three answers. One says, well, you know, I'm hopeful. I said, why? Well, I don't know. I said, well, if you don't have a reason, you shouldn't be hopeful. The second one is, well, I don't think about it. I said, well, if you aim at nothing, you hit nothing. And the third one is, I'm afraid. So this one says, the future, I hadn't thought about it, but it's important. Scan here and look at what it has to say. But my favorite one is this one. It says, life sucks. Because a lot of people feel that way. And so it says, what can I do about it? And you look at this. So you could make your own cards like this very easily. You look up online some type of gospel presentation site that crew has or somebody, and print a card and put this QR code on it, and you can pass it out to your friends. Some suggestions about how to do that. Then Samaria, find a means of serving, soup kitchen, pregnancy center. My brother was, as I said, was an Uber driver. He witnessed to every seat of his car. I will say he was an evangelist, but that's the way to do it. If you have spare time, drive Uber, share the gospel. And then to the ends of the earth, explore short-term possibilities. Short-term missions is not for the people you go to, it's for you. It changes your perspective on the world. If possible, overseas and a different culture, because you will find great eye-opening experiences, and it will advance your Christian faith if you do something like that. And go to an area of great need. Like when the earthquake occurred in Turkey in January, many Christians from outside the country came and pitched in and helped those poor people. Think of this. The earthquake came at 4:30 in the morning. People jumped out of bed, ran out of their houses. What did they have on? Pajamas, no shoes, no socks, no money. It was freezing outside, and many of their houses collapsed. So they're stuck on the streets. Well, the 8,000 Christians in Turkey, that's how many born-again Christians there are. We count them every 2 years. They were there that same day, passing out coats and shoes and stuff. That is the way to be a witness. And so many foreign Christians came to Turkey and worked in that too, short term. So those are some ideas about how you can run to those bases and so you can be a world Christian. So application, worship. Give intentionally and strategically, pray specifically, widely and consistently, and seek opportunities to go overseas in some way if you possibly can. Okay, thank you very much. I hope that stimulated your thinking and you don't feel condemned but challenged and are able to apply that in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your calling us to share your glory with the world, with our neighbors, with the area, with the country. And I pray, Lord, that we do pray for our country, Lord, that you would be with every pastor to help them live a godly life, to shepherd their people well. We pray for revival for Christians in America, that they will not be ho-hum, but the Spirit would move them powerfully to new levels of surrender and obedience. And we pray for an awakening in America, in every country in the world, that your Spirit would work powerfully to convict of sin and righteousness and judgment, to open the eyes of people to their need for a Savior, and we reveal yourself to them in some way, dreams or visions or thoughts or reading or questions that will draw them on to yourself. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would bring whatever pressure they need on their life to move them ahead and into your kingdom. And guide us in playing the part that we should in that, Lord. In your gracious name, amen.
Thank you so much for sharing your life with us. Every year at this time, at this service, we have an opportunity to fill out a faith promise for world missions that is in the pew in front of you, in the pocket there. So if you would take a minute and fill that out today. We will be collecting these up in the weeks to come if we can, but if you would do this right now today and put it in one of our offering boxes in the back, that will help us know where God is leading us financially this year by faith in our missions program, and there's a very clear relationship between this faith promise and our annual budget as well. And so let me just quickly go down through this. The giving part is, I promise to trust God to provide me with the following amount to give weekly to the Evangelical Covenant Church missions outreach in the coming year. And so we're looking for a weekly amount, whether you give monthly or whatever. But if you would mark that down, and then if this is your first faith promise, let us know that as well. And then markdown that you will pray for the particular missionaries that you've been thinking about this week. So that would be great. And then let us know that you would pray for the Fulani people, our adopted people group. And then about going, if you have been provoked by the Lord and by those who have been sharing this week about your personal participation in this, aside from just faith giving. We would love to know about that and to pray with you. So would you take just a moment right now, we'll play a song for you and allow you to do this, but if you would fill that out, and then we'll close our service in just a moment. So go ahead and fill that out if you would, please.